Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Tikten for Talmud. Yevamos Chaf Aleph, Yevamos 21a, paginations 41. Our topic for today is called Shenios, which means secondary. And those are examples of arayus, immoral relationships, which are only midrabbonon, rabbinically forbidden. In other words, there are sections in the Torah that list off relationships, such as a mother, which are forbidden midoraisa, and the Rabbanon came along and extended the number of applications of arayus and extended them to somewhat similar cases. You have an example, the last third of the page. The Gemara gives examples. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned Mahim Shnios. What are the examples of Shnios? Aim Imo, a mother's mother. In other words, a maternal grandmother would not be biblically forbidden, but because a mother is forbidden, the rabbis came and forbade a mother's mother, because it's similar. And likewise, Aim Aviv, the mother of your father, a paternal grandmother, also is forbidden because of its being comparable to that maternal type application. Likewise, the wife of a father, even if it's not the person's mother, the wife of a father is forbidden to him, and they extended it Eshes Avi Aviv, the grandfather's wife. Not just the father's wife should be forbidden, but even the grandfather's wife should be forbidden. And those are examples of this concept of Shnios, secondary applications of arayus, of forbidden relationships. Now, it is important to keep track of what's considered biblical and what's considered rabbinic, because if a person were to do kiddushin on such a woman, if it's a primary erva, then typically the kiddushin is not chal, the kiddushin does not take effect, and there's no need for a get. Whereas if it's only rabbinically forbidden, we always have to keep track of what the Torah would say in such a case. And the Kiddushin does take effect, but it's rabbinically forbidden to continue that relationship, and therefore a get would be required. Now, the simply most quoted reason for making Shnios, like any type of Gzeira Dirabanan that is a Siog, that's a protection, is the expression that we find midway in the wide lines, Ushamartem es mishmarti, the Torah says, guard my observance. And we understand that to mean, when it says guard, the guarding, guard the observance, it means asu mishmeres lemishmarti, make a guard for the observance. And that's this concept of making a fence around the forbidden thing, so that not only don't you do the forbidden thing, but you don't even come close. You will recall that this is an idea that got Chava, first woman, in trouble, because not only did she say that she's forbidden to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, but she decided she's not allowed to even touch. And as a result, she ended up touching and eating, because she created a siyag which she didn't fulfill. That's one of the reasons that we are extremely careful whenever we have a mitzvah derabbanon, lo sosef alav, not to add to Torah, but rather to protect Torah. And we make sure to keep track what is derabbanon, what is the protection, and what is the original law. Let's see the Gemara about 12 lines from the top, where it begins on this topic, middle of a line, Omar Rava, Rava said, Remez l'shnios min haTorah minayin. Where does it say a hint to the concept of shnios, of secondary arayas in the Torah? Where do you get the inference that there's supposed to be a whole class of forbidden relationships that even though it's not listed in the Torah, the rabbis should forbid them? Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ki eskol ha-to'evos ha-el osu anshei ha-oretz. All of these very serious abominations were done by the people of the land, referring to the land of Canaan, which would become the land of Israel, and the Jews are told, don't emulate, God forbid, the behavior of the previous residents. So the word ha'el, koshos, means that these are really serious. Mechlal de'ikarakos, it must be that they're also arayas, forbidden relationships, that are of a lesser nature. Umaniu shenios, and that refers to shenios, the rabbinically prohibited arayas. The Gemara continues with what I believe is a very interesting statement. It's going to get us a little bit off the topic of arayas, but we'll do it. I think it's extremely important. Starting from the first wide line, the Gemara tells us, Kosha onshin shal midos yosame onshin shal arayas. On at least one level, the punishment for improper measures is worse than the punishment for forbidden relationships. We know that generally forbidden relationships is one of the most serious. It's a capital offense. It's the kind of thing that's the gimel chamuro, something that we're willing to give our lives for, not to be in violation. Nevertheless, theft resulting from improper measures, where a person has a measure in the ancient type of scales that actually literally you put a pound on one side and you would have to put a pound of the product you were selling on the other side, and when it was perfectly balanced you knew that you had a pound. So if a person had what was marked as a pound measure but really wasn't a pound, so every time he's giving people food or product that was weighed equal to this pound type measure, he was actually giving them the wrong amount. And if his pound type measure was shaved off so that it was less than a pound, then he was giving them less than a pound product. So that violation of theft is worse on some level than the punishment for immoral relationships. Shezeh ne'emar bohen el, v'zeh ne'emar lahem eile. Because the wording by prohibited measures has an extra hey, it's even stronger. We just said that ha'el is what's mentioned by immoral relations, telling you that it's very serious. And we inferred from there that there's also an immoral relationship that's of a lesser level. But now we're saying that there's something even more serious than ha'el. And that's the level of eile, which is the word that's used by measures. El kasha, because el is serious. Ve'ele kasha me'el, but eile is even more serious. Asks the Gemara, my chumrayu, what exactly is the seriousness? And the Gemara answers, hani efsha betshuva. Because arayas, it's possible to do tshuva. If you disengage from the behavior, Rashi says, provided that a mamzer wasn't born from the union, because then the avera remains in front of them forever. But if he disengages and there was not a mamzer produced, so he could do teshuva. Hani, but weights and measures, lo efsha betshuva, it's even worse. because you can't do tshuva because the person cheated out so many unknown to him customers. He can't keep track who he cheated with what, and therefore it's impossible for him to do tshuva. Rashi mentions that it is brought that if a person doesn't know who he stole from, the recommendation is he should take that amount of money that's in his hands improperly and use it for tzorchei rabim, for public good, so that invariably the people that he wronged will benefit from that money that's really theirs. And Rashi points out, tzorchei rabim lav tshuva ma'al yosaihu, but that's not a real teshuva. It is brought that that's what he should do, but that's not a real teshuva. And therefore, our Gemara presents the importance of making a siyag, a fence, around arayas, that arayas are very serious. There is a lesser type of arayas called shnios, which are rabbinically legislated. But as we mentioned here in the Gemara, there's something even more serious than the high-level arayas. And at least on one dimension, that's onshin shel midos, weights and measures, because in that case, it's virtually impossible to do teshuva. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.